This is a presentation of the Badlands Media Network.
That's a hell of a name.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, on this beautiful, beautiful day in creation, coming to you live and in living color from Big Duval, Jacksonville, FLA, the Mandarin section of town. I'm thinking about that now because I'm probably going to have to be moving from here in a couple of weeks. But I love the property that I'm on. It's just a beautiful stretch of land. But you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, I forgot to, this is my habit these days, I forgot to set up the Badlands media thing so I can see your chat. I'm just still trying to think through whether accepting, you know, an offer that keeps me on this property, but in a much too small space. And then looking at other rental properties and trying to decide what I might want. Today is Wednesday, May 8th, and there is the Rattler Gator Report. But it is not coming up. Okay, there we go. Okay. Good morning, North Georgia Dog. Good morning, Eurythmic. I saw what you sent, Eurythmic. I saw what you sent. I have not watched it. To hear it, I saw a little bit of the video play in silence. I'm sure I'll have a good laugh. Good morning, Tracy. Still hoping that I can get out to Austin for the Gators football game against your Horns. This coming season, we shall see. Michi Mee, good morning, China. I tell you. Canada, Canada, Canada. Good morning, Liberty is mine. My mind is all over the place this morning, and you know, yours probably too. So much is happening. So much is happening on the lawfare front with Donald Trump and these idiots. Ever more evidence to me that a certain component of the panic, the Patriots are now in control thing, is for real. How they've done what they've done, this is the question. Is it total manipulation, or is it just recognizing the stupidity that these people have because of Trump derangement syndrome? I don't know. It may be a mix of both. But my goodness, you know, I've been having these conversations with you And I'm going to try and track, because I do want to finish up the United States in Opposition reading today. I'm still thinking about the Proverbs verse, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and within a multitude of counselors there is safety." Everything I see seems to flow from that, including my theory about the Sun Tzu type of battle plan they put together, a back at you bitches type of battle plan. Wow. I sent Paul Fleury an email yesterday, a text, I think, or an email. I can't remember. But it was talking about how everything is integrated. And because we do this sports show, that I thought we could benefit by having a discussion about it, or they could do it this Friday or something. And he thought it probably would work better if we just do that the following Monday when I am on the show. Friday, I'm going to be up in Atlanta, and I won't be able to do the sports talk show. So, I won't go into it in detail, but it does flow from the everything is integrated mindset. And the point I'm making, the point I think he and I will be able to discuss intelligently, is an inflection point has been reached, and a strong, strong argument can be made that the Tom Brady roast was by design the inflection point. If you haven't seen it, you need to find somebody with a Netflix account if you don't have one and go watch it. It's a long piece. I haven't, truth be told, watched it. I've seen clips, I've seen discussions, and all of this other kind of stuff. I got to drive to Tallahassee today, and so I'm probably going to play that on my drive. But it's incredible, because the summer of correction, the theme is about a return to normalcy. That roast, irreverent to the max, was a return to American normalcy. Everybody is fair game in a roast. And the test is whether your punk ass is a grown-up who can deal with being roasted as the focus of the event is roasted. Okay? Everybody is equal. So that's what they did. I was very pleased to see that. And, you know, I don't like to be slaves to narratives, even when they work in our advantage. And I was very happy to see that Kevin Hart was there and did really well. I just think, love Cat Williams. We can go a little bit too far with describing to Cat 100% veracity. He's a human being, faulty, like all of us. And even he had a beautiful perspective. It was a great thing he did with Shannon. But let's not go whole hog, right? So, all right. As I think through, I'm also thinking back, man, what did I want to say to y'all? I don't think, you already know I'm Johnny One Note on the whole Russian and China thing, but I don't think people recognize how they both try to take advantage of our natural strengths to make them a weakness. And so they pimp all this fear, uncertainty, and doubt by going at and working with people who naturally have come to some skepticism about X, Y, and Z. This is part of the genius about how they do what they do, and they try to take advantage of our freedoms. And you have to understand, our position is that ultimately we know that happens. We're cognizant of that. But ultimately, in the long run, our freedoms prevail. We have faith in that, right? And part of that is remembering our Judeo-Christian foundational base. Part of that is remembering that, what is it? It's Micah, right? Chapter 6, verse 8, I think. It's talking about, what is it that sums us up here? What is it, right? Act justly, be merciful and be humble. Right? It's like, okay. Anyway, let me, I just think it's all fitting. It's all fitting in the back at you bitches. I saw an article in CNN. I thought about reading it, but I know I'm going to get way off track if I go read this piece. It's about a chick who graduated with a master's degree from Georgia Tech, black chick, engineering degree, and the granddaughter of Georgia Tech's first black engineering graduate, about 60 years later. A phenomenal story of America. But in that story, they detailed some of the stuff this guy had to go through while a student at Georgia Tech. And it harped the story. And I don't know how to try and say this to y'all. You know, we can focus on what we want to focus on. These things did happen. These crazy restrictions. There's no other way to say it, put upon him by white people. Those are real. Those were real. Those things happened. What's untold, I bet you, if I dug into this story, because, you know, I've seen enough, lived long enough, know enough, there was a huge number of people working to protect him as these forces were working to throw him off. And it's the protecting component that gets overlooked so often when we look back at the civil rights movement. We don't see, and nobody pimps, the support that people received. And I guarantee you, this man received tremendous support because they recognized something of a battle and that they needed to be force multipliers in this battle. Battle for good. So that's what I'm trying to say when we think about some of these things that are going on in our country right now, where these Russians and Chinese, I don't give a damn what you think. That is a 100% fact to me. I've seen too much, know too much. And they try to really hit us by making our freedoms defeat us. This is the whole thing about the Vietnam War. Some of y'all get it, some of y'all don't. But if you take a long enough decades, multi-decades view, you kind of start to recognize, yeah, our freedoms do prevail. The bullshit they pimp does fail, but they got mighty close. They got mighty close with this damn Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton double up. But true to the nature of this country, here comes a point man to operate on our behalf. That was Donald Trump. And they just never anticipate this kind of thing bubbling up from America. They just, anyway, let me try and get to my supportive advertiser and then try and get right into this reading and get done with it in preparation for what I suspect Friday might be a free-flowing conversation. I see Don Serber has had some great columns recently. I see that J.E. Dyer has something out about the Gaza situation. Beautiful stuff. Everything is integrated. And so I may just Friday want to have an open discussion. And of course, that will include some of this Russia-Ukraine stuff, you know, this hilarious inauguration of Vladimir Putin. It's just like, wow, this motherfucker. All right, let's see here. Before I get to the reading, B53, good morning, MAGA Keys, good morning. Let me hush. I'm thinking this morning about some of my mustard and ketchup family members and interacting with some of them. When I go up to Atlanta, it will be a mustard and ketchup Florida State grad who I'll be hanging out with. Jack Smith does have to be in panic mode. And Judge Cannon, I'm just trying to tell you, I got to go remember to look this chick up. I think she's a Gator. I may be wrong. But she's handling her business. She is handling her business. And this is what I mean about, did they already trap Jack Smith? He had enough to be trapped. He'd done some weird ass shit. And this is manipulated control. I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't figure it out. Good morning, GWKW. Good morning, Benton. Cam Cassius, I don't know. Good morning. 2-minute clip of Tom Brady Rose. Thank you for putting that in there. They just had some incredible stuff. And what does it say about Tom Brady? I'm just so impressed with that guy. Recognizing who he is, what he represents, and this moment in history, you know, to agree to have yourself roasted at this moment in time. I just see a plan. You know. It may just be me, but I see a plan, a damn good plan. Good morning, Trish Casey. Wow, I've rambled a lot already. Let me get cracking because Yeah, and I gotta remember now. What are you doing, Black Boy? What are you doing, Black Boy? You're gonna do your ads, and I gotta remember because I changed. I was searching for some stuff. And I did protect myself. The ad stuff is ready. And I'm going to start off, I think as I did Monday, with the first block reversed from last week. First up is Aero Tags. Are you tired of the endless cycle of buying and tossing those paper tree air fresheners? Enter Aero Tags. Where their dream was to craft a solution to this very problem. Aero Tags are the first ever laser-engraved resentable car air fresheners made right here in the USA. Born in the makerspace of the Cleveland Public Library, Aero Tags is not just a business, it's a revolution and a testament to the American dream. They are not just about freshening your space, but about doing it better with a commitment to longevity, aesthetics, and sustainability. Aero Tags are designed to last longer, look great, and reduce waste, replacing those fleeting scents with something you can count on. Don't forget to grab your Badlands Media Aero Tag, which is now available. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/aerotags, that's AROTAGS, and use promo code Badlands for 10% off your order. That's badlandsmedia.tv/aerotags, promo code Badlands. All right. And then, of course, Mike Lindell.
I'm excited to announce we're having a huge MyPillow spring sale. And here's a few examples. Buy one of our MyPillow 2.0s, you get another MyPillow 2.0 absolutely free. Made with cooling technology, the best pillow ever just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of our Percale bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98. And for the first time this year, I'm bringing you our My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your MyPillow 2.0s. Buy one, get one free. Percale sheets as low as $24.98. My Slippers and Sandals as low as $25 a pair. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free.
All right, so let's try and finish off this reading. I'm doing it organically. This is a piece, again, I read long, long ago and decided to save it because I knew it would come. It would be something I'd need to refer to in the future. And I'm talking decades ago, I concluded that. And so I have it in my system, and I did a reading a few weeks ago in preparation. And, you know, I just can't remember stuff like I used to at this age. So I made some notations. And the prep is to just read it on the show and then remember, oh, yeah. So I may have some comments along the way. We'll see. And I got to do the background, right? How do I get back down here? There we go. We left off with a real focus on these non-aligned nations through India, really and truly. And whoa, that ain't where the hell I want. Yeah, that is it. Okay. Here we go. Back to Daniel Patrick Moynihan's The United States in Opposition, a piece written in 1975. Still, there are gains in the relative loss of income associated with the managed economies of the third world, which need to be appreciated. An Asian economist has said of his own country, plaintively, yet not without a certain defiance, we are socialists, so we do not believe in capitalism. We are Democrats, so we do not believe in terror. What then is our alternative save 1% a year? There is a welfare state of sorts. There is protection of industrial labor, and in some countries, at least, there is freedom to protest. Moynihan, a leftist to the end. But the most distinctive gain and the least noted is that in the course of its outward journey, the managed economy was transmuted from an instrument of economic rationality to an instrument of political rationality. It is sometimes difficult to recall, but early socialist theory expounded the greater efficiency of production for use rather than for capital, and put much stress on capitalist wastefulness. In practice, however, the real attraction of the managed economy has been the means it provides to collect enough political power at the center to maintain national unity. Almost everywhere, a chancy thing in these generally multi-ethnic states. Yep, yep. One must still conclude, however, that these political gains are purchased at the expense of even more conspicuous economic losses. India will serve for a final example. In the year of its independence, 1947, India produced 1.2 million tons of steel, and Japan only 900,000 tons. A quarter century later, in 1972, India produced 6.8 million tons and Japan 106.8 million tons. These outcomes are the result of decisions made by the ruling party of each nation, and only an innocent could continue to accept Indian protestations that the results were unexpected. The break in Indian growth came precisely in 1962 when the United States, which had been about to finance its largest aid project ever, a steel complex at Bokaro in eastern India, insisted that it be managed privately. India insisted on a public sector plant, for which read a plant that would do what the Prime Minister of India wanted done. In the manner of the Aswan Dam, and with as much political impact, the Russians stepped in to finance the public sector plant. By 1974, this plant had yet to produce sheet steel. For the period 1962-72, Indian steel production grew by a bare 1.8%, while Japanese grew 13.4%. There is no serious way to deny that India has, in a very real sense, desired this outcome, just as there is no way to deny that high living standards in the modern world are associated with relatively free market economies and with liberalist international trade policies. Granted that much economic policy does not have high living standards as its true objective, but is rather concerned with political stability, and granted that such a concern may be wholly legitimate in a new nation, in any event, it is not anyone else's business. It nevertheless remains the case that the relative economic failure accompanying political success in regimes such as that of India, sooner or later, begins to undermine that very success. Promises are made, and political stability, especially in the more democratic regimes, requires some measure of performance. when it is not forthcoming, regimes change independent. Neither of these developments can be welcomed by the United States. The United States in the past may have cared about the course of political events in these nations, but only in the most abstract terms. Consider the casualness with which we armed Pakistan and incurred the bitter and enduring hostility of India, the second most populous nation in the world. But India has now exploded a nuclear device. That may well prove the most important event of the turbulent year 1974. Other third world nations are likely to follow. Hence, political stability in the third world acquires a meaning it simply has never in the past had for American strategic thinking, as well as our general view of world politics. Section four, what then is to be done? We are witnessing the emergence of a world order dominated arithmetically by the countries of the third world. This order is already much too developed for the United States or any other nation to think of opting out. It can't be done. You sure about that, Daniel Patrick Moynihan? Yeah, I think it can't be done. One may become a delinquent in this nascent world society, an outcast in it, but one remains in it. There is no escape from a definition of nationhood, which derives primarily from the new international reality. Nor does this reality respond much to the kind of painfully impotent threats which are sometimes heard of America's pulling out. Anyone who doubts that Dubai can pay for UNESCO knows little of UNESCO, less of what the United States pays, and nothing whatever of Dubai. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, is a point where we can think more about the genius of Donald Trump and his regions of responsibility and cooperation. That's how you do what Moynihan couldn't conceptually think of in 1975. Trump has made it a reality. Back to the Moynihan piece. In any event, matters of this sort aside, world society and world organization have evolved to the point where palpable interests are disposed in international forums to a degree without precedent. Witness, as an instance, the decisions of the World Court allocating the oil fields of the North Sea among the various littoral states in distinctly weighted, but no doubt proper, manner. Witness the current negotiations at the Law of the Sea Conference. Two-thirds of the world is covered by the sea, and the United Nations claims the seabed. That seabed, especially in the region around Hawaii, is rich in so-called manganese nodules, concentrations of ore which American technology is now able to exploit, or will be sooner than anyone else. At this moment, we have arguably complete and perfect freedom to commence industrial use of the high seas. This freedom is being challenged, however, and almost certainly some form of international regime is about to be established. It can be a regime that permits American technology to go forward on some kind of license and royalties basis, or it can assert exclusive internationalized rights to exploitation in an international public corporation. The stakes are considerable. They are enormous. And then, of course, there remains the overriding interest, a true international interest in arms control. And here, true international government has emerged in a most impressive manner. If we were to ask who is the most important international official, a persuasive case could be made for choosing the Inspector General of the International Atomic Energy Authority, the man who supervises the safeguard agreements of the world's atomic reactors. Few would know the name of this unobtrusive Swiss chemist. Few perhaps need to. But more than a few do need to know that the post is there and that its viability derives ultimately from the international system of which it is a part. For the moment, American security derives primarily from our own armaments and our strategic agreements with the Soviet Union and a few other powers. But the international regime of arms control is already important and certain to become more so. If, that is, it does not go down in the general wreckage of the world system embodied now in the United Nations. But assuming that the new majority will not destroy the regime through actions that drive nations like the United States away, it is not reasonable, is it not reasonable, to anticipate a quasi-parliamentary situation at the international level, the General Assembly, and a dozen such forums, in which a nominally radical majority sets about legislating its presumed advantage in a world which has just come into its hands? The qualification quasi-parliamentary is necessary, for in fact, the pronouncements of these assemblies have but limited force. Bingo. So did the pronouncements of the Continental Congress. They are not on that ground to be ignored. What then does the United States do? As good as Moynihan's piece was and is, he was trapped into a little bit too much affinity for the British system, in my estimation. Back to his piece. The United States goes into opposition. This is our circumstance. We are a minority. We are outvoted. This is neither an unprecedented nor an intolerable situation. The question is, what do we make of it? So far, we have made little, nothing, of what is in fact an opportunity. We go about dazed that the world has changed. We toy with the idea of stopping it and getting off. We rebound with the thought that if only we are more reasonable, perhaps they will be. Almost to the end, dominant opinion in the U.S. mission to the United Nations was that the United States could not vote against the have-nots by opposing the Charter on the Rights and Duties of States. All rights for the group of 77 and no duties. Thank you. But they do not grow reasonable. Instead, we grow unreasonable, a sterile enterprise which awaits total redefinition. Going into opposition requires, first of all, that we recognize that there is a distinctive ideology at work in the Third World and that it has a distinctive history and logic. To repeat the point once again, we have not done this, tending to see these new political cultures in our own image or in that of the totalitarians, with a steady shift in the general perception from the former to the latter. But once we perceive the coherence in the majority, we will be in a position to reach for a certain coherence of opposition. No. That means you are playing on their terms, period, and you are on the path to death. Back to Moynihan's piece. Three central issues commend themselves as points of systematic attack. First, the condition of international liberalism. Second, the world economy. Third, the state of political and civil liberties and of the general welfare. The rudiments of these arguments need only be sketched. It is the peculiar function of radical political demands, such as those most recently heard in the international forums, that they bring about an exceptional deprecation of the achievements of liberal processes. Even when the radicalism is ultimately rejected, this is rarely from a sense that the established processes do better and promise more. American liberalism experienced this deprecation in the 1960s. International liberalism is undergoing it in the 1970s. But the truth is that international liberalism and its processes have enormous recent achievements to their credit. It is time for the United States to start saying so. One example is the multinational corporation, which, oh my goodness, combining modern management with liberal trade policies, is arguably the most creative international institution of the 20th century. Do you see why these Russians and Chinese have worked so hard to co-opt and whore out multinational corporations? Wow. A less controversial example is the World Health Organization. Sweet Jesus, this paragraph here is the problem. In 1966, it set out to abolish smallpox, and by the time this article is read, the job will more than likely have been successfully completed in very significant measure with the techniques and participation of American epidemiologists. While not many Americans have been getting smallpox of late, the United States has been spending $140 million a year to keep it that way. Savings in that proportion and more will immediately follow. Here, as in a very long list, a liberal world policy has made national sense. No. We should resist the temptation to designate agreeable policies as liberal merely on the grounds of agreeableness. There are harder criteria. Liberal policies are limited in their undertakings, concrete in their means, representative in their mode of adoption, and definable in terms of results. These are surely the techniques appropriate to a still tentative, still emergent world society. It is time for the United States, as the new society's loyal opposition, to say this directly, loudly, and forcefully. The economic argument, which will appear inconsistent only to those who have never been much in politics, is that the world economy is not nearly bad enough to justify the measures proposed by the majority, and yet is much worse than it would otherwise be in consequence of measures the majority has already taken. First half of this formulation will require a considerable shift in the government mind, possibly even some movement in American elite opinion also, for we have become great producers and distributors of crisis. The world environment crisis, the world population crisis, the world food crisis. Wow, 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 wow. All of this Russian and Chinese shit swallowed whole. Are in the main American discoveries or inventions, opinions differ. Yet the simple and direct fact is that any crisis the United States takes to an international forum in the foreseeable future will be decided to the disadvantage of the United States. Let us hope arms control is an exception. Ergo, skepticism, challenge. The world economy is the most inviting case for skepticism, although it will be difficult to persuade many Americans of this during an American recession. And although the rise in oil prices is now creating a crisis in the third world, which is neither of American contrivance, nor of American discovery, nor of American invention. But until the dislocations caused by OPEC, things were simply not as bad as they were typically portrayed. Things were better than they had been, almost everywhere. In many places, things were very good. Indeed, Arthur Lewis summed up the evidence admirably. We have now had nearly three decades of rapid economic growth. Output per head has been growing in the developed world twice as fast as at any time within the preceding century. In the LDC world, the less developed countries world, output per head is not growing as fast as in the developed world, but is growing faster than the developed world used to grow. The data can be quite startling. In 1973, as Arthur Lewis was speaking, the planetary product as estimated, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I hate British honorifics, and I hate Americans using them. It's just, what the hell are you doing and why? As estimated by the Bureau of Intelligence and Research of the Department of State, grew at a real rate of 6.8%, an astonishing figure. The third world product expanded by 5.75%, no less astonishing. Simultaneously, it is to be asserted that these economies do less well than they ought, that the difference is of their own making and no one else's, and no claim on anyone else arises in consequence. This will be hard for us to do, but it is time we did it. It is time we commenced citing men such as Jagdish N. Bhagwati, professor of economics at MIT and Indian by birth, who stated in the Lal Bahadur Shastri lectures in India in 1973 the following. In the 1950s, our economic programs were considered by the progressive and democratic opinion abroad to be a model of what other developing nations might aspire to and emulate. Today, many of us spend our time trying desperately to convince others that somehow all the success stories elsewhere are special cases and that our performance is not as unsatisfactory as it appears. And yet, we must confront the fact that, in the ultimate analysis, despite our socialist pattern and our planning efforts, we have managed to show neither rapid growth nor significant reduction of income inequality and poverty. It is time we asserted with Arthur Lewis, a socialist, a man of the third world, that economic growth is governed not by Western or American conspiracies, but by its own laws, and that it is not an egalitarian process. It is bound to be more vigorous in some professions or sectors or geographical regions than in others, and even to cause some impoverishment. I'm going to stop there because it's now clear to me this damn long ass piece is still longer than I anticipated. And I'm going to have to go into Friday before I close this thing out. And I guess that makes a certain amount of sense. I wanted to talk today a little bit about the incredible technological revolution that's going on. I was going to play a video. I may still, that Stephen Mark Ryan put out, Tesla. And I'm trying to tell you, I've said to you, you should hedge into Bitcoin, even if the fear, uncertainty, and doubt that people put out has convinced you that this is too risky or it's totally bogus. You should hedge into Bitcoin. I have the same opinion about Tesla. To me, it is beyond a debatable point that Tesla is going to be the most valuable company on the planet. And hard for me, if you're paying attention, hard for me to see how you don't recognize that. They keep, again, part of the Russian and Chinese battle plan is to try and limit the incredible advantage the United States has across an entire spectrum of fields. There's practically no place where we don't have a serious advantage. And technology is just an incredible leap forward, and we are driving the train. No one is even in the ballpark. And so they work hard to try and stunt American advancement. There is a reason why China allowed Tesla a special exemption to come into China and build factories. And that reason is they desperately needed to copy whatever they could, see whatever they could to try and leap forward. That was the entire point. And it's like, look, we see you motherfuckers, but this is what they don't get. This is what the Russians don't get about what has stopped them in Ukraine. And again, y'all can believe they're winning all you want. I don't want to insult, but it's hard not to insult. You just hear all kinds of foolishness when they are operating with the 19th. It's just stupid. It's just, anyway, they're being stymied by American technology. You don't have to look hard to see that. And the genius of Donald Trump is his appreciation of Sun Tzu. You achieve things people don't even recognize you're achieving. You appear weak when you are strong. So you sit there and you dare a damn judge. Put me in jail, motherfucker. I mean, you got to see how the battle plan is playing out. He has zero fear because he understands what's happening. He understands what's happening, and they don't understand what's happening. They're just getting frustrated. The Russians are just getting frustrated. The Chinese are just, none of these people understand what has happened. Okay? And everything is integrated. So this incredible technological leap forward, they'll start talking. Americans will naturally have some concern about transhumanism. So the Russians and the Chinese seed some doubt about transhumanism. Okay, we got to be smarter than that. We got to be more savvy than that. We got to see how all of this thing is transpiring. And we must walk with this technological revolution. Elon has done a phenomenal job and is doing a phenomenal job. So let me see. I think it's about a 6-minute clip I think I want to show. But maybe I should get my supportive advertisers out of the way first, so that I can at least have done my duty to Badlands Media and them. So let's get back. And then I will check in with the chat before I play this video that I think I have lined up, right? So, let me get back to my script and, you know, in fact, hell, let me look on here before I before I do this. And what I do is, Bitcoin is in the $62,000 range this morning. They have really been working hard to limit the explosion in Bitcoin. But as I've said, nothing can stop what is coming. So, River Bitcoin, are you ready to diversify your assets with Bitcoin? Introducing River, the official Bitcoin partner of Badlands Media, where you can navigate the world of Bitcoin with confidence. With River, you can buy Bitcoin like a pro. With the assurance of being licensed and regulated right here in the United States, River ensures your Bitcoin journey is smooth and secure with on-demand live support at your fingertips. River empowers you to grow your portfolio without any unwanted surprises and eliminates third-party custodians, putting you in control of your assets. Go ahead and open an account with no minimum purchase requirement. You can get your Bitcoin journey started with just $1. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/river to create your River account today. That's badlandsmedia.tv/river. River BTC, shaping the future of finance. One Bitcoin at a time. All right. And then we will close out the supportive advertisers by focusing on us at Badlands Media.
In today's fast-paced world, peace of mind is priceless. That's where Badlands Media steps in. Preparing for life's uncertainties is about being ready for anything, right where you are. Welcome to the Badlands Media Shop. We've partnered with Patriot companies offering products that empower you to prepare for any eventuality comfortably from your home. The Badlands Media Shop has everything you need to secure your peace of mind. Browse the virtual aisles. Prepare your family for the year ahead with products you can trust from companies that share your values. Whether it's growing your own food or prepping long-term storage, protecting your family, or stocking up on emergency supplies, we've got you covered. Get prepared. Visit Badlands Media Shop at badlandsmedia.tv/shop today. Every purchase supports a freedom-loving business as well as Badlands Media. That's badlandsmedia.tv/shop. Thank you for your continued support.
All right. I'm going to try and play this 6 minute or so piece. And I'm just going to jump in. But the thing Stephen Mark Ryan is talking about is Tesla's recent 2 minute video of their Optimus bot. I've said to you, none of y'all, for the most part, understand this technological revolution, the exponential leap that is about to happen and is going to shock everybody. And this is another indication, another attempt by me to just expose you to what the heck is what, and at least give you some food for thought. So I'm going to try and see if I can present this video, and then we'll try and get out of here and get ready for Friday. Let me see if this works.
Please. Once Tesla's demonstrated enough utility from their Optimus humanoid robots in these settings, they'll begin selling to other customers, most likely automotive manufacturers and other companies in factory and warehouse settings first. But over time, more and more features will roll out, and eventually Optimus humanoid robots will be able to do essentially everything a human can. Now, a couple of posts from some of the crew actually working on Optimus at Tesla. Quote, over the past couple of months, our awesome manufacturing team has built more bots for us to work on and collect AI data from. We've trained and deployed a neural net allowing Optimus to start doing useful tasks. And this is important. Such as picking up battery cells coming down a conveyor and precisely inserting them into a tray. This neural net is running entirely end-to-end, meaning that it only consumes video coming from the bot's 2D cameras, as well as onboard proprioceptive sensors, and produces joint control sequences directly. It runs entirely on the bot's embedded FSD computer, powered by the onboard battery. It is designed such that a single neural net can perform multiple tasks as we add more diverse data to the training process. While not being perfect yet, and still a little slow, we're seeing increasingly success rates with less frequent misses. We're also training Optimus to recover from failure cases and are seeing spontaneous corrections happen. We've deployed a couple of bots at one of our factories where they're being tested daily at the real workstations and continuously improving. Optimus also now regularly takes long walks across the office without falling. Further work is ongoing to make it move faster, as well as dealing with more adverse terrains, all without sacrificing the human-like nature of it. We're also focusing on repeatability across the fleet, training the neural net to deal with dynamic calibration and small bot-to-bot variants. More updates soon. Another update from within Tesla. We learned behaviors across our fleet and decided to bring a few robots in the factory to perform a real useful task, sort batteries. The autonomous behavior you see below can run on the robot for hours until we need to recharge the battery. And now this from Jim Fan, Senior Research Manager and Lead of Embodied AI at NVIDIA. Congrats to Tesla Optimus team on another stellar update. The video gives us a peek at their human data collection farm, we saw that earlier, which I believe is Optimus's biggest lead. What does it take to build such a pipeline? Optimus nailed all of the following. Optimus hands are among the best five-finger dexterous robot hands in the world. It's got tactile sensing, 11 degrees of freedom, compared to many competitors with only 6 to 7 degrees of freedom, by the way, just a quick update. Sorry to skip around, but Musk responded, the new Optimus hand later this year will have 22 degrees of freedom. Now, the real question is, will that be sufficient to reach superhuman hand job capability? That is the real milestone. And robustness to withstand lots of object interactions without constant maintenance. 2, teleoperations software. We can see that the human operators are wearing VR goggles and gloves. It is very non-trivial to set up the software to have a first-person video streamed in and precise control streamed out while maintaining extremely low latency. Humans are highly sensitive to even the smallest delay between their own motions and the robots. Shout out to anyone who's experienced lag, especially on a first-person shooter. Optimus has a fluid whole-body controller that enacts the human poses in real time. 3, and remember, this is coming from somebody at NVIDIA describing Tesla's incredible progress and the fact that they have all the pieces of the puzzle. 3, the sizable fleet. You need more than one robot to collect data in parallel. Well-trained human contractors taking multiple shifts per day, preferably 24/7, and an on-call maintenance crew to make sure that the robots are always busy. That's a ton of operational complexity that academic research labs don't even think of. 4, tasks and environments. It's equally important to figure out what to teleoperate. Currently, most such efforts are demo-driven, e.g., collect data on the tasks that you want to put into a social media video, e.g., Optimus sorting batteries, which we've just seen. But solving general-purpose robots requires us to think carefully about the distribution of tasks and environments. And he quotes a timestamp in the video, where we can see factory and household settings like moving batteries, handling laundry, sorting daily objects into shelves. It's an open-ended research question. If you only have the budget to collect training data for 1,000 tasks, what would you pick to maximize skill transfer and generalization? And a closing thought. Teleoperation is a necessary but insufficient condition to solve humanoid robotics. It fundamentally does not scale. That is true. This is why he's asking the question about what tasks would you pick to maximize skill transfer and generalization. I'll give you guys an example. You're all humans, I assume. Have a think about it.
All right, I'm going to stop there. That should give you an indication. You should watch that entire video. You should be following Steve and Mark Ryan regularly. You should be tracking Tesla. When you hear somebody say, and many of you have heard them say, Tesla is just a car company. I don't want to say you're listening to a dumbass, but they are putting forward a dumbass statement that is demonstrably stupid. Tesla is the world leader in artificial intelligence. The Model Y that I drive is a robot. Anybody telling you for 5 years now, Tesla is just a car company, that was a dumbass statement. Because they've had nothing but robots on the road. Those robots are collecting data. Tesla has inference computers within that car that allows it to drive ever better on its own. And it is damn close to solving full self-driving. Damn close. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. And it's incredible because that brain in that robotic car, they can drop right inside these Optimus robots. And it can see the world, it can think about the world, and it can make deductions. based on the training, and that's where we're headed. They are so far ahead of anybody on the planet, it's just laughable because everybody is going to have to follow their lead. Nobody can compete with them. That is a done deal because of how many robots they already have on the road giving them data every day. When I shut down with you and I go drive to go look at one of these rental properties, I'm sending data to Tesla. It's just nobody has thought through what they've been able to think through. And again, that's American ingenuity. It's also something of a Sun Tzu. Think about Elon Musk as employing something of a Sun Tzu strategy himself. Think about how they talk all this bullshit about China linking up with Elon Musk. Baby, it's the other way around. Don't you understand? They've invited in a Trojan horse. Anyway, let me get to your chat and get ready to close out and see if Eurythmic has given yet another little funny video talking about Bitcoin or something. Lisa, are you talking about me? My goodness. You are talking about me? Yeah. Wow. Baby, think what you will. I am perfectly happy to wait for the after action report and confident, 100% confident. Florida Salt Man. Yeah, I may in fact be getting a rental on the west side. We'll see. We will see. He owes all of you nice people an apology. He sees you all as a revenue stream. Lisa, what did I do to you? Wow. Russia took over two more villages in Ukraine. Confirmed by both. Yeah. You read me. Wow. Okay, they took over two more villages. Whoop-de-doo. Oh, my goodness. I love this. Yeah, Zelensky will find himself at the end of the rope. Okay, you keep hoping. They tried to assassinate him a whole bunch, and, you know, somehow they failed. Somehow. Probably because of American technology that Donald Trump is supportive of. But y'all think what you want. Yeah, North Georgia dog. The only digital stuff you should trust or hedge into, again, I'm not even saying you got to trust it, is Bitcoin. To hell with this XRP, Ripple, Doge, all of that stuff. And yes, Eurythmic, I'm glad you shared that for the chat to have a good laugh. Please check out the video. Yeah, Lisa, I do want to know why you did what you did. I don't know what you did. I don't know what you're talking about. I saw at the end of last shows like this run on from you, and it's like, well, what is she talking about? And why is she? Tesla is not scary. If you think Tesla is scary, you don't understand the three decades of data they've been collecting on you already. It's not eliminating the use of humans. It is the natural evolution of technology that we cannot stop. And Elon is right. We're going to have to figure out a way to walk with this damn technological leap. That is the only logical, savvy position to take. Remember now, would God Almighty have it any other way? I don't think so. I mean, how narrow is your comprehension of what God Almighty has in mind, allows, designs? I don't know how people think about this. I don't. Your son is a weaponized intelligence officer. Okay, hey, well and good. Well and good. Doesn't give you any greater knowledge or understanding. I got family all over the military. I know people in a wide range of places in the military. All of us do. You have to individually discern what the heck is what. That's the point. We don't follow the lead of someone with a presumed better vantage point. We make up our own minds. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say, Lady Gator, and I'm hoping you will join me on Friday as the world turns, kind of, sort of, and we will see. We will see what the heck is what as I close out, hopefully, finally, this United States in opposition piece. All right? Later, Gators.
Friends, first off, thank you so very much for joining us. We truly and deeply appreciate your continued support and love shown to us here at Badlands Media. Don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video and help get this show on the Rumble leaderboard. Another way you can support Badlands for free? Become a Badlander. How do you do that? Head on over to badlandsmedia.tv, click connect from the top menu, and then click be a Badlander. Once you're registered, you can download clips from your favorite Badlands shows to share on your social media accounts. You can also print out flyers and stickers that you can hand out at an event and more. Let's keep growing our community because we are the news now and we take that very seriously. Thank you again from Badlands for your support and your love. It is appreciated more than you know.